Well, what is bad advice and good advice? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money. Good afternoon, this is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. Well, if you got a question for me, I want to invite you to go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. You'll find a couple of resources there to fit your needs. There is the email that you can connect with me through the Ask Bob section of the website, and I'll get you an answer to what your question is on your email. But sometimes it's a little bit more difficult than that. There's more moving parts, a little bit more complex than an email can handle. So you can go on my calendar and you can block out a 30-minute phone call and we can take care of it that way as well. There's no cost, there's no obligations, and it's there to help you get your questions answered and get you information. That's off the website, www.prudentmoney.com. I had this idea that I wanted to start a bad advice and good advice type segment. And when I say segment, we would devote an entire program to it. Because I'm just seeing things that just absolutely make me shake my head. And one of the things that you know Prudent Money is all about is bringing that other side of the story to the table so that you can compare and contrast the two sides, and then you can make up your own mind on what makes the most sense for you. Now, generally, two or three things you want to know. First, let's start with good advice. That's the type of advice that is in your client's best interest, the person seeking advice, that's in their best interest, and it's information that they can take and help them legitimately with a high probability reach their financial goals off down into the future. It's based on research, it's based on experience, it's based on expertise, and it's all in the best advice for the particular individual. Bad advice is self-serving advice. It's designed to sell things, it's designed to make a dollar off of a recommendation that may or may not be good advice. And it really points back to the person giving the advice or selling the advice as the source of that. Now, both good advice and bad advice. Well, let me start with good. Let me go back to good advice. Good advice is based on an opinion. It's not based on fact. Advice that is based on opinion becomes fact at some point. Or becomes bad, come to find out it was bad advice. But it all is an opinion. That's why I don't get just real hung up on I'm right or you're wrong, or this is good, this is bad. What I like to do is use this, once again, use this format to show you what you're comparing the advice you're getting to, good advice versus bad advice versus good advice. So you've probably been working out in a gym, maybe watching TV, and the commercial comes on that's promoting the investment software, the stock trading system, that you can't lose. You can't, any advice that comes from this particular stock, stock trading software is advice that's going to help you make money. I mean, it's just a slam dunk, easy way to make money. They do the same thing with real estate and other types of investments, but the one that I am particularly focused on is a software package for traders. Now, keep in mind that the very front of this website talks about subscribing, talks about performance, it actually gives a performance to date, which, believe it or not, is 213%. Yeah, go figure that one. And it talks about, you're doing what we're doing and all these kinds of things. That if a reasonable person would have read the front page. And by the way, and you'll see what I'm talking about, it is beyond me that this particular company is getting away with this type of thing, especially when you read the disclaimers, which disclaimers are always our best friend. They always tell us what's really going on. So there is, in my mind, no question that this company is selling stock advice. So let's take a look what they want you to, what they bury deep into the disclaimer, the fine print that you need to know. First of all, this material is for information, entertainment, and educational purposes, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, hold, sell a security. Boy, that just really is in conflict with the front page of their site and the rest of their site as far as that goes. The testimonials all talk about something, a totally different experience. It says, if I should go forward on this, it says it should not be assumed that any investment in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described or discussed herein will be or were profitable. So any of these alerts they send out to buy something, and examples they've given you in the past, are hypothetical. Yeah, it says it was positive, but it may not have been positive. Kind of see where this is going. They also write, any views or opinions or comments cannot be relied upon for investment decisions. That's I'm trying to figure out why anybody is subscribing to this. This particular outfit is not a licensed securities dealer, broker, or U.S. investment advisor or investment bank. Performance is discussed in their daily wrap and where we use the trades and results from the portfolio, which is a hypothetical portfolio. So they're basically, let me explain to you what a hypothetical portfolio is. That's when I make a filter and I pick out stocks that have made big returns, and then I build something that shows this is when we bought it. Of course, I'm using the past performance data, which is real, and I'm saying we invested here, we invested here, we invested here, and this is what has happened. Doesn't sound like a really good way to go about getting your investment advice, but hey, this is what you've got here. Then it says, these are not the returns of an actual fund or portfolio of stocks. So I guess the 213% that you find on the front page is not the returns of an actual fund or portfolio of stocks. It says it trades only in the stocks that are sent to subscribers via our instant text alert system. So let's talk about that. An instant text alert system was for what purpose? And it's to alert us that something is happening, like they're buying or selling a stock. So it says, it goes on, when the service notes we are buying, we are buying. When it notes we are selling, we are selling. From time to time, the executives or employees, oh, this was just unbelievable right here. And I'll read it and come back and break it down for you. From time to time, the executives or employees or affiliated parties of this particular trading system may be selling or buying the same securities in personal, corporate, trust, or other accounts over which they have authority to trade, and these trades may not be precisely at the same time as the portfolio is trading in quotations and or alerting its subscribers. Now, there is something called front running. It's a violation of securities laws. And it says that you cannot, if you know you're going to recommend XYZ to a subscriber base to buy, you can't go buy it first, then buy theirs, and let them drive the price up. It's called front running. And like I said, it's against the law. Once again, I've come across this service I'm reading about. I mean, this is legitimately what they have down on paper, or excuse me, on the internet, written. And it's unbelievable to me, once again, that these people are not in trouble legally with the SEC. It says, by using this site, you agree that your results are 100% your own. That you have done your own due diligence or had a securities professional do it for you. And by the way, throughout their testimonies, they really don't have very kind words for securities professionals, aka advisors. And that in no way are we directing you as to what to buy or when or in what amounts, and that those decisions are yours and yours alone, as are your results. Well, those decisions are yours because you're going to decide whether or not you take the advice of this trading company, stock trading company, and you decide, make your own decision as to whether it makes sense to buy and sell when they buy and sell, which is about the only way that you can follow their recommendations, that they're not recommending, by the way, and that they're not encouraging you to put your money into, because you're going to make a lot of money in the portfolio that they track there live on the site that has made 213% year to date. But it may not be the same portfolio, and it may not be real. Makes you want to jump up and down and just go sign up, doesn't it? Please be careful. There are a lot of very, very good stock-based trading systems that you can follow, that you can learn and use. This is not one of them. Hey, this is Bob Brooks. We are up against a break. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bob Brooks. What is the single most important verse on stewardship? Well, you can find that verse in two books, word for word, Matthew 6:24 and Luke 16:13. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Wow, what a powerful statement. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we talk stewardship and how to stay in a committed, surrendered stewardship relationship with God. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show weekdays at 3 p.m.
This is Rob Randall, your host and teacher of the Invisible War radio program. The Invisible War is the study of God's Word on how to walk in Christ's victory and the spiritual battles we face against the powers of darkness. Join me every Sunday morning at 9, right here on KDKR and KYJC in Commerce, your station for life.
Hi, I'm Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times. We're very excited to be a part of Bible School Radio. I hope you will join me Saturday, 10 a.m., for cutting-edge guests and the latest information to help you discern the truth, even the inconvenient truth. We'll help you understand our times and contend for the faith. That's Understanding the Times, Saturday at 10 a.m., right here on Bible School Radio, or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do appreciate it. Listen, if you got a question for me, you can go to the website, send an email in, or get on my calendar and schedule some time. It's very easy. There's no strings attached. There's no cost. It's all there to help you out and get you information. That's off the website, www.prudentmoney.com. Okay, so obviously the trading software was maybe bad advice, maybe good advice if you don't follow it, maybe bad advice if you do. So there you have it. This next one, though, I believe that being a radio host, you are held to a little bit different of a standard, because you don't know how people are taking the information that you're giving. You don't know if people are looking at something that you said and consider it a can't miss idea. You just don't know how you're being interpreted. So you got to be careful. You have to be very careful of what you say and make sure people understand it's an opinion and make sure that people understand that you're not trying to give advice. And it's just extremely important. So what words matter? Irresponsible words certainly do matter. Now, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. I'm just going to say that this is from a followed radio host that gives this advice as the way to invest and take care of your future and your retirement. Radio host, we'll leave names out, was asked if $3 million was enough to retire on, and then he basically said this: you can invest it in good mutual funds and get 12% a year and live off of 10% a year. Read that again. This is a guy that is, his wealth, I mean, his extreme wealth was built off of giving advice. And if he knows of the good mutual funds that we should pick from, I wish he would let us all know. But he said, basically, you can invest in a good in good mutual funds and get 12% a year and live off of 10% a year. Now, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he was giving this as a educational remark, and we'll just pretend that he was saying mutual funds in general, and that surely he's not suggesting that there are not one but several mutual funds that get 12% a year consistently on average, and that you're going to live off of 10%, because you have to know that bear markets do not exist in this world. It's only one big bull market. I look at that and it leaves me just scratching my head. I'm sorry, but it is really that I think it's just irresponsible advice. I would love to know where he comes up with this, because, you know, maybe it is that over a long enough period of time, the S&P 500 has averaged 12% a year, and that's where he gets his big numbers from. Ladies and gentlemen, I would suggest to you that this is maybe some of the worst advice I've ever read, and that if you're counting on returns like that, you better be one of the most successful traders that's ever lived. And you're not going to be investing anything like someone who's traditionally investing. That's the first thing. This is also a lesson on how to not pick your growth rate. Risk exists. We talk about this all the time. And this is a lesson on how to not pick your growth rates. You've got to pick a growth rate and assume that your portfolio can make a growth rate. But I would suggest start with at least half of what he is recommending. And the problem is that we're going to have bear market cycles, and it throws things off. We're going to have years where the return on the S&P 500 isn't that great, because you just can't control the variables and how make it work for your investing. The variables, just a couple of them today. Inflation is turning back into a variable that is becoming a concern again, with interest rates going up and costs going up. Statistics, the indicators are showing they're going up. Gas is going up. So it's a very big concern. And it's a variable you've got no control over. So you could spend 2022 making only a negative 18%, only to make it back the next year. But in the in-between, if you don't do it right, as far as taking your money out, of a cash account or something like that, as you take that money out, it decreases the entire portfolio base. It's one of the dangers of investing. But it doesn't give any more details, doesn't explain how it's done. It's just that easy. And you know from listening to Prudent Money, it's not all just that easy. There are no absolute results when it comes to money. There's only one absolute result, and that is that there are no absolute results. So, just bad information. So I would definitely call that bad advice. Good advice or bad advice, a will or a trust. This came as a result of a story that a guy told me about his sister-in-law, and she was holding the money. The father had passed away. The mother was still alive, and she was executor, and she'd already put this off for a long time. But what you're looking for is to make sure that somebody, whoever's taking care of the distribution of the estate, which, by the way, the mother was still alive. So I don't know. I couldn't read all the information, but it was a huge red flag that there wasn't even a will set up. And besides, she's still alive, so everything still resides with her. I don't know what logic she was using, but it brings up the question. No will, you have a will, or you have a trust. I think that done correctly, and the good advice is that you definitely have at least a will to make sure there's some type of written document that says this is what is supposed to go to whom. But better yet, you have a trust. Now, if you've got kids, I think a trust is a no-brainer way to go. Adult kids, I think it's let me put it to you this way. I think for a family with small kids, it should be a requirement, because that's the only way that you can really take care of your kids in the event that the nuclear option happens, which is you both, husband and mom and dad, both die in a car accident, God forbid. A trust, you have a ironclad document that has extreme detail and instructions. So I think for the make sure that your kids are taken care of, that's extremely important. Second would be a will, and wills are easy to challenge. May not be surprised at who comes out of the woodworks when these things. The news comes out there was just a will. Bad advice is no will at all. You want to be able to have a will in place. I think, for adult kids, I still think a will is the way to go, just because there's no question as to where the money's supposed to go. There's no question as to where the assets are supposed to flow to, or there's no question as to what the mom or the dad or both of them, what their intentions were when it came to this money being left for their kids, and that their wishes are being carried out. So it only makes sense to do a trust, but at the very, very least, do a will. One other piece of advice that I would say that goes with this, and this I would give as advice because I think it's important. Some things I will give advice on. This is one that I would. Don't procrastinate. Do not put it off. Get that document done as quickly as you can. I was talking to somebody two days ago, and he let me know that, hey, I'm finally, I set an appointment with the attorney, and that's not an easy. Going through the process may not be emotionally easy to handle, but it's so very important for the protection of your kids. So don't put it off. If you're with your financial advisor and your advisor's been trying to get you to take the steps needed to get a will taken care of or a trust taken care of, make sure that you carry that out. Get that done, and you'll have peaceful nights of sleep, at least as far as that goes, for the rest of your life. Hey, this is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.